Welcome to the Chirpin' Birds podcast. The Eagles fall to the Seattle Seahawks in the final 30 seconds of the game, 20-17. Jalen Hurts has a plethora of bad decisions. Offense never got going. People are calling for jobs. Jobs are being taken. The season is hanging in the balance. Mike, how you doing?
I'm okay, but
is the sky falling?
A little bit, right? I mean,
I think so.
This was supposed to be the get right game, and for 95% of the game, they managed to build a lead against a far inferior team, and then, you know, in the most maddening way, they give it up, and they get a chance to kind of crawl back into the game, and even then they make another kind of fatal mistake. But I mean, to sum it up, that was like a very stinging loss. In my opinion, that was the worst loss of the Sirianni era. Now, that is quite a successful era, so by virtue of that, there aren't too many bad losses to pick from. So I'll say it's not a big field, but I mean, I don't think you can rationally explain away too much of this game. Like, it is just, it's inexcusable. It is, you know, clear shortcoming of expectations. It's, you know, really poor execution from the coaches to the players. Like, you can really slice up this blame pie like a ton of different ways, and nobody's really free of that. But it does come back to Sirianni and Hurts, and I think those two have, I think there's some lenience you could give to, like, you know, not to being blown out by really good teams, but at least by losing to them. But there's simply no way you can excuse losing to Drew Lock, the really poor Seattle defense, especially after the 2-minute warning. It's just, it was a maddening loss, and I am curious, like, what are you feeling now, 72 hours later? Do you feel any better, or did you feel worse?
No, I mean, now the 3 seed's in play, now the 5 seed. I mean, I looked at the percentages. I forget what the source was. It might have been New York Times, it might have been somewhere else, that basically it's like a 27 or something like that percent chance at the 1 seed, 50% at the 2 seed, and 17 at the 5 seed. Whatever the difference is, I think it's the 3 seed, and you know, it'll be complicated. Who will cheer for in the Detroit Dallas upcoming game? I think in 2 weeks, but you know, I didn't think we'd be at this point. The way they played going into the 49ers game, we said, you know, a number of times that it in a lot of ways was playing with fire. They had 4 straight deficits going into halftime. They're playing from behind, they're playing all these close games, but they were winning, finding ways to win. The offense, or it seems like this all caught up to them, and it's really jarring to have this loss against an inferior opponent, where, you know, the 49ers loss and the Cowboys loss could be sort of explained away. The 49ers had 10 days off. The Eagles played 3 games in 13 days. The 49ers are firing on all cylinders and continue to. The Cowboys don't lose at home, all these things. This game was there to be had. I am giving them the ball back down four. I wasn't as infuriated by the 92-yard, drive to seal the game for Seattle. I just could see the offense is broken right now, and I know Jalen was sick. There were a lot of poor decisions, a lot of questions. You only need 15 yards to get into field goal range. Why are you throwing that ball? Other, one-on-one throws and stuff like that, not taking what's underneath. I don't know what the answer is. Like, I'm not, X's and O's, like, offensive guru. I know that you sent me the Ben Solak article from The Ringer. I haven't finished it, but there's a lot of articles coming out. I think Jimmy Kemski had one on how to fix the offense, all these things. So those are definitely questions. I think it's just, after the Cowboys loss, getting blown out 2 games in a row to the top teams in the NFC, I just kind of felt like last year's Eagles being, the best team in the NFC, no doubt. That's over. The 49ers are clearly the best team in the NFC, maybe in the whole league. I think I don't think they have a shot at the one seed. I mean, stranger things have happened. I think, the getting the two seed is very important, but I have little to no confidence right now in the Eagles beating San Francisco in a playoff game on the road. So the Super Bowl hopes sort of were on thin ice going into this game. And now for me, I think a divisional round win would be pretty much on par with my expectation, or my hope, I guess. Anything more is, if they weren't constructed to be a Super Bowl contender, I would say house money, but it's not house. It's just disappointing where they're at. And I feel like I'm all that long-winded answer is to say I'm very disappointed. I don't know. One thing I was thinking about this week, not to ramble too much, but I'm curious what you think about this, is the trauma or baggage that we hold from the Carson Wentz debacle. And obviously it's been just a couple games, but Jalen takes a lot of hits. It doesn't seem as dynamic and fast as last year, and is basically he's regressed from last year. And now last year was a stellar season, so regression makes sense, but these last few games he just hasn't been good, and he was sick. But I think part of the disappointment and frustration is seeing his regression and poor decision making, turnovers, fumbles, more so than the interceptions. And it's just, I don't know. It's unfortunate that the next three, I mean, it's fortunate that the next three games are against really bad teams, but it's unfortunate that even if they go 3-0, you don't really know where the team is going into the playoffs. So all those things are sort of swirling around in my head right now, but I just sort of feel a bit of despair for the hopes of the season.
Yeah, no, I mean, they certainly open the door to those kind of doubts and, you know, like the shadows of the Wentz rise and
And it's
fall.
too early to say that, but I think just because of the trauma of, or if you don't want to say trauma, the baggage, whatever you want to say of that, it's coming up. And putting all your eggs in the quarterback of the future's basket with that contract, it's easy to, fall in love with the guy again and think that the guy's perfect. And we'll see moving forward, but I just feel like it's a quicker trigger because of what happened with Carson.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, on one hand, I think it's natural to compare quarterbacks from a certain era on a certain team, so I get that, but I don't quite see them, and you know, I think there's far fewer similarities to make a good argument. Like, I think the primary thing with Wentz was, like, philosophically, like how he approached the game is the antithesis to how Hurts kind of approaches the game. I think, you know, the intangible side of things, he's in a much better area. Like, I don't really question his mental makeup, his relationship with his teammates. Like, all that stuff was kind of, you know, on really bad terms with Wentz after the Super Bowl. And, you know, like, physically, it hurts isn't anywhere near with or anywhere near where Wentz was. And unfortunately, Wentz did have, you know, his body did take a toll after the ACL and the back injuries, a series of back injuries. I think he had the concussions. Like, it was a much more violent injury history, you know. And that's not to say that Jalen hasn't dealt with his share of injuries, but they're not as damning, at least, you know, not that we know of. And I still think there's something, like, lingering with Jalen. Obviously, he was sick last week. We didn't really. I mean, there was a ton of news that came out later in the week after we recorded. But, you know, Hurts' sickness was one of them. And obviously, that will impair, you know, what you can do on the field. But even that aside, like, he isn't as mobile as he was last year. And I do think that is a clear reason why the offense is a bit gapped. You know, I think it's pretty clear teams have approached the Eagles' offense, factoring in that he doesn't have the wheels that he has in the past. But I also think there's just, like, fundamental flaws with the offense and how it is designed, how it is called, and also, like, how it is executed. There's kind of failings at every level, from the creativity to players executing, and you know, you can talk about effort. There was the Quez Watkins target deep to turn to the interception. You could say, like, why isn't he kind of fighting for that ball to get the flag? And not to be that person, but, like, there was contact there, but it is the receiver's job to make that more visible. Or also, you know, break up the ball if you don't think you're going to get that flag. And, you know, not to pick on Quez, but there's kind of, like, you can go through and see, like, oh man, like, there's plays where so and so is not, like, running as hard as they should, or he's kind of taking a break on this route, and you know, that could probably help on this play. But I mean, the offense, this is supposed to be the bread and butter of this team, and it just hasn't been for, I guess, going back to, like, the Bills game, which is, you know, almost a month ago now.
So
So
do you find the blame is more on the coaches?
I mean, I wouldn't know how to weight it, but, like, in my mind, there's significant shortcomings at some level of the how the offense is being designed, and that starts with Nick, to how it's being called, which is Brian Johnson, and you know, to some degree also Nick. But it, you know, it doesn't stop there. It goes down to the players, and you know, I think it is a bit of a circle in that, like, that is, you know,
yeah,
one feeds
and
the
players
other.
Aren't executing the plays the coaches right. call, but the coaches aren't calling plays that make it easy to execute. So
right. So
I've seen the expected or the accuracy and or completions versus accuracy or whatever it is that Jalen's
completion
basically,
percentage over expectation.
Sure. Yeah. All those charts from this year, and Jalen is completing the hardest passes of any quarterback in the league, if I'm reading those charts correctly. It's and it was kind of similar last year, but obviously last year they didn't have those issues. And when you have AJ Brown and Devontae Smith, maybe you are throwing more 50-50 balls because you trust them a bit more. But it's hard to tell. I agree. If it's, you know, it's Sirianni's offense, he said as much this week. Brian Johnson's calling the plays. You know, I've heard everything from the usual, you know, fire Brian Johnson, this and that, to Nick should call plays again. And I think both of those are pretty ridiculous for right now. I mean, with the defensive coordinator situation, so it's tough to know where they're at, and we won't know where they're at until the playoffs. And I think a fair expectation is that they'll go 3-0 in the next three, but I wouldn't be surprised if they split with the Giants just because of division flukiness. And
there's no way, like, I'm not saying it can't happen, but I'm saying if they don't manage to sweep the Giants, I feel like that means they're not winning a playoff game. If they lose to this Giants team, like if they lose to them on the road when the Giants are playing in the last week of the season that does not matter, and they beat the Eagles on the doorstep of the playoffs, that is an indictment.
Where we're at.
Like the Giants are incentivized to lose for their draft pick, with Daniel Jones being injured, without having a true quarterback future. That isn't, you know, I shouldn't say that. Like, you know, they did give Daniel Jones quite a paycheck, but like they're looking for a new quarterback, in my opinion. And I'm not saying they're going to go out and tank, but they're also not going to be putting their best roster out there on the field unless they're, you know, looking for meaningless wins to negate their draft position. That would just be silly, in my opinion.
Right. This loss you mentioned earlier, you know, worst loss in the Sirianni Hurts era. The only other loss I can remember is the Raiders loss the first season, where they turned it around and ended up making the playoffs. I think that season, obviously, there were no expectations to make the playoffs. So any way they could sneak in and turn it around like that was, you know, just nice extra fun. I think now with all the expectations, it's hard to feel good about clinching the playoffs and seeing what happens. The five seed would be really difficult pill to swallow, having to go to Tampa, where, you know, they have every reason to win that game. It's just a tough road, winning three road games to get to the Super Bowl. So the division is essential. The Cowboys and Eagles sort of had the wash last week with both of them losing. I don't know how it factors in with strength of opponent because, you know, the Eagles and Cowboys beat the each other's opponents earlier in the year. So Eagles arguably, you know, was the tougher game, but then you lose to the easier team. So I don't know how that all shakes out, but we'll just see. And these three are essential wins. And I really don't know what to expect. I sort of expect three wins, but if they're three ugly wins, we're sort of beyond a win is a win at this point, because it's, you know, all year was, this isn't the time to be playing your best football. And now it is the time going into the end of the year with some momentum. So the one seed seems bleak, and even playing the 49ers feels bleak. But I think a playoff game in Dallas sounds, you know, impossible at this point. So here's hoping the Dolphins and Lions can take care of business as well as the Eagles, and see where we end up. I don't know who wins the tiebreaker. I guess the Eagles would win the tiebreaker between them and Detroit if they end up with the same record because of strength of schedule. That's just my guess. I think the Lions had the fourth easiest schedule or something like that this season. So we'll see where we're at, but it's a tough time being an Eagles fan. You know, the team's 10-4, so it's a good record, but how they got there is definitely not good.
Right. Alluded to it earlier, but let's talk about the big news bomb that came out before the Monday night game, and that was the scoop that Sean Desai was no longer calling plays or was responsible for the defense, even though he was still holding the title of defensive coordinator, and those responsibilities went to Matt Patricia, of all people. Curious, how did that, you know, prior to the game, what was your reaction? And then obviously,
it was
definitely, how is that sitting for you now?
It was unsettling then, and I feel like we're, you know, we haven't seen the light at the end of the tunnel yet, so we're sort of grasping in the dark right now with the defense situation. It was unsettling when I heard the news. It smelled of desperation to me. Obviously, something needed to change. Something needed to be fixed. I thought that would be on the field. I didn't really have much opinion on it, because the defense was in the bottom five of the league in a lot of categories. So I wasn't shocked something like that happened. I did think it was a little weird they, you know, kept the title and these, you know, play calling duties are switched and all that. Like, that was kind of a little chaotic. Nick said that he told the players earlier in the week because he wanted them to hear it first, and then it got leaked or got out or whatever. I just think that they don't really know what to do, and it's on Howie as well, or Jeff Lurie. I don't really know who sets the organizational philosophy on, you know, D-line and D-line and D-line and nothing else. It's tough to see the age of Bradbury happen so quickly. You know, missing Slay due to the knee surgery was tough, as he's been their best corner this year. And, you know, he's still very good. And, you know, the future of the team might very well be Kelee Ringo and Eli Ricks. So they had good games in Seattle, so, you know, that was good to see. But it's the D-line hasn't gotten pressure on a quarterback in weeks. They've been disappointing. They haven't been a factor. that's the biggest thing. The D-line's not getting the job done, and now the flaws in the back seven are getting exposed. And maybe the Eagles are right to only invest in the D-line, but this iteration of the D-line is not getting it done, and that's making the whole defense suffer. Like the analysis that the Eagles are front, they're built to play with the lead. It's like that's a lot of teams are would probably prefer to play with the lead. So it is a little silly to me to kind of have that distinction for some teams and not others, but the defense is built for the trenches, to win in the trenches. And the O-line has done fine, I think. I think quarterback play was the biggest issue, and wide receiver play was the biggest issue in the Seahawks game. But as far as the defense, I think the D-line is a major problem because they're not getting the job done, and the defense is not built for the secondary to hold up if the D-line isn't doing its job. So the defense seems broken too. But this team is an offensive team. It's an offensive head coach. It's an offensive-minded owner and GM. The offense is the biggest key to success and to winning games. And I'm not really concerned with the defense getting fixed this year because they don't have the talent on the back end, or they don't have elite, talent like they do on the D line. And I think you have to look at the elite guys and the offense as a whole. And if those aren't clicking, then I think you're in a lot of trouble. And I will always look with this version of this team this year, I will always, and probably many years moving forward, I will always look at the offense. The offense is working. You can nitpick the defense, but the defense I don't trust to get a stop at any point in the game, especially when it's needed. And the offense is where I will put my faith, and that starts with Jalen, and Jalen was not good enough last week.
Yeah, like I know the defense got exposed on that touchdown with 1:52 left, and there's no excusing 92 yards with no stoppages. Like they didn't have the 2-minute warning, they didn't even need a timeout, and of course Drew Lock. That said, the defense didn't give up that many points. The offense only got 17 points. So, like, in my opinion, I know it really felt like the defense blew it, but like in my mind, the offense was
Yeah,
really the
I don't
primary.
have any gripes. I mean, the defense is just bad. It's a bad defense. I don't have any gripes with the defense. They didn't underperform because they're bad, and we've known that they're bad for a while. My gripes are with the offense, with the execution, the decision making on Jalen's part, and simple offense. I mean, I'm sure you saw the McCaffrey on the Manning cast predict the QB run.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know how much, credence to pay that, but it's not a good look.
yeah, no, I mean, they gotta clean up. They gotta clean up their game, like everywhere except special teams,
Yeah.
essentially.
Every year it's like C, D, C, F, F, A for special teams, which
Right.
is the inverse of last year. So,
Right. Now you did mention the Ringo performance. I thought that was encouraging to see him not get like exposed.
especially after the Dallas game.
Right. And obviously a reminder, Drew Lock, so like let's keep things in check, but a nice bounce back
Talented
performance for
receiver
him.
group.
Right. it's not about the receivers, it's more about the quarterback.
Sure.
But Ricks too. I think Sidney Brown had his up and downs, but overall, like, I'll take the growing pains from a rookie as long as
Yeah, I mean, he
he's
had a lot of those missed tackles, and Kenneth Walker had a big game too. So,
No,
you
I'm
know,
not
that's on
saying
the
let's put him in the
linebackers too.
I'm not saying let's put him in the Pro Bowl, but it was nice to see, like,
Good.
there's some palpable element of the defense which has been lacking, and I think he brings that. Now, as far as, like, differences between Patricia in a one game sample size and Desai, we saw that there was, like, no blitzes whatsoever, and the Eagles have been really bad at producing good outcomes when they sent the blitz. So that's just kind of, take note. We'll see if that changes in the weeks to come. There was more man defense, which I think in certain situations would certainly benefit this team. I think the question is, like, can your cornerbacks actually go out there and perform that at a high level? I think it kind of depends, especially with Bradbury, who you mentioned just had a really tough game. It seemed like Drew Lock kind of took that matchup between Bradbury and Metcalf and said, highlight that one. And, more often than not, it did go the way he wanted it to. And, the tackling has been poor for over a month now. Like, they got to clean that up. They're just going to be giving up extra yards, whether it is yards after the catch or, the running back kind of bouncing off from one guy to the other. It's, that is the fundamental football that Sirianni includes in his core values. They've gotten away from just making sound fundamental plays. And I feel like that's kind of like a sentiment throughout all of this is, like, I know this team is a very good football team, but on a fundamental level, they're just not executing. And their star guys aren't putting up, like, star-worthy performances, and their middle of the roster guys aren't doing what you would expect of them. So it's just like they are talented. They're not as bad as a football team as they have convinced us the past month or so. But so far, their performance kind of echoes that. And they, like, it sounds silly to say, but, like, they literally just have to go out there on the field and play better, wrapping up the tackles, running your routes with effort. It's just like there's a lot of basic stuff that is kind of getting lost along the way. And I'm sure the coaches are drilling that stuff really hard because there's a lot of panic in the room, but I think it's a combination of, like, not guys losing, like, the room and, like, losing interest because this team obviously went to the Super Bowl last year, but, like, when you're losing, everybody kind of starts, like, feeling just a little bit out of it. I really do think that a resounding win could snap a lot of this stuff, not to being, 100% correct and forgiven, but at least get them, like, back on track. Like, some of the stuff is just like, yeah, you just gotta go out there and play better.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's there's two horrible feelings in sports fandom, in my opinion, and one is like a franchise aimlessness, where you're like the pre-processed Sixers or the Flyers of the last, 10 years, where
The Phillies, like,
in the
the
Phillies,
last decade minus the last
right.
2 years.
Where, they're not getting any better, all their draft picks don't pan out, they're not a destination, or they're not signing free agents or making trades, they're just aimless. That's a horrible feeling. Like, the becoming a playoff team, let alone a championship contender, feels impossible. That's one. two is having all the pieces, and this is what we've experienced with the Sixers the last, 6 years. You have pieces, you have the elite talent, face of the franchise type guys, and they always fall short or they
Yeah,
never
the
put it together.
underachieving.
So the underachievers or the impossible to achievers.
Right.
So we're that's how I feel with this Eagles team right now. And last year looms large in moments like this because they were the better team. They outplayed the Chiefs for most of the Super Bowl, but two, three mistakes cost them a championship. And that's how close they were last year. And that's a tough pill to swallow, in the moment for sure, and throughout the offseason. And then at this point, because you were 10-1 at one point and had the path to the one seed in your control, and now this is where we're at. So it's a tough place to be. To answer the initial question I asked you, is the sky falling? I think not yet, but there's plenty of cracks, and we'll see these next 3 weeks how they all fall into place, if they get fixed, or this is where the analogy sort of runs out. So we'll see. I mentioned Darius Slay had arthroscopic surgery on his knee. He will be ready for the playoffs, is the expectation. Who knows if he'll play that last week? I feel like the last week's tough playing on the MetLife turf as a return game, so I wouldn't expect him back this season, this regular season. Avante Maddox was a full participant in practice today. His practice window was open, so that's
Just
exciting to
about the
see.
only bit of good news
Yeah.
this week.
And then, to balance that out, Landon Dickerson had thumb surgery and will miss minimal time. So who knows what that means? Probably won't see him on Christmas. Any other news and notes before the Giants?
Now, let's turn the page.
The Giants come to town and their first matchup this season. With Daniel Jones out on IR, Tommy DeVito comes to town. I don't know. Tommy DeVito, he's 3-2. He's like this folk cult type person, with the chicken cutlets, the Italian, New York mystique. So
Yeah, he's got a
they
little bit
have,
of Gardner Minshew to him as far
yes.
as that,
So
the name potential.
they have positive vibes coming in. They did trade away Leonard Williams, and
He had a good game last week
yeah.
against the Eagles.
So they I think they traded someone else too. I don't exactly remember. Maybe that was Chase Young that I'm thinking of. But they're offense and defense ranks bottom in the league. Offense 31st, defense 25th, special teams 25th. You round all that up, they're the worst team in the league, sitting at 32nd there. So not a whole lot to, point your finger at, say, look out for this. Saquon is probably the most talented, definitely the most talented player on offense. He, needs to be accounted for, but their receiver group sort of shaken up a bit from last year. Darius Slayton's still there. Their first string on their depth chart, Wan'Dale Robinson and Jalin Hyatt are a couple new names. Jalin Hyatt, I think, has been having a good year. Their backups, Isaiah Hodgins, Sterling Shepard, who've both been on the Giants for quite a while. Darren Waller has been there a season or two. They're tight end, and they have a bad offensive line. Andrew Thomas, is a name that we should be familiar with. He's been on the team for a bit. Evan Neal's their first round draft pick from a couple of years ago, but isn't much else to really concern yourself with as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean,
little concern.
Evan Neal might not play this week, and I think look at through this lens, there, if he doesn't play, the guy who will be starting at right tackle was a practice squad player for the Eagles earlier this season, and Tyree Phillips. So, you know, they're a low quality team. You mentioned not having Daniel Jones, that injury obviously torpedoed their season. And they just don't have a lot of promising talent on offense. This is a team that is just in a, they really need to rebuild. And I'm not sure if, you know, I don't even know if they would qualify as like a soft rebuild the past few years, but, you know, bringing Barkley back, probably a better deal for the team than it was for Barkley, and I'm not even sure it was a great decision. Like, it kind of, you know, I don't know. He's really the only player who's getting fans in the stadium on offense at this point. Darren Waller, he had I forget how many weeks he was on the IR, but quite a bit. He's been back for 1 or 2 weeks, and I still, he's like more of a shadow of what he used to be. So on offense, this really is, couldn't ask for a better bounce back opponent for the Eagles defense that is kind of, you know, reeling.
And DeVito, 3-2, those 3 wins came in a row at Washington and then home against New England and Green Bay. So, you know, not the best opponents. Their two losses were at Dallas. That was his first NFL start, I suppose. And then they just lost in New Orleans. So,
yeah, I don't know how the Packers lost to this team. That's,
well, there you go. So
that's terrible.
They come in 5-9. And really, I feel like they come in with nothing except for vibes on offense, at least with DeVito. So that'll be fun to watch. I assume you saw the quote of a hostile environment, and he said the most hostile was some high school game he played in. So this will be a new experience for him. So it'll be interesting to see how he fares.
Now, real quick on, you know, their offense against Eagles defense. Not to say that Drew Lock put out like the keys to beating the Eagles defense, but the Eagles cannot. Like they need to stop the run, and they need to make this one dimensional. They need to make DeVito throw the ball, because I think the Giants' path to victory here is like relying on Barkley keeping it like third and manageable, or like breaking like a 40-yard touchdown and like slowly just like shrinking the clock. Like, that is the path to victory for the Giants. And the Eagles, they have not done a good job of stopping the run. That has been a weakness of recent, you know, the past 3 or 4 weeks. That has, like, you know, the 49ers, really good running game, obviously. Cowboys, good offensive line. The Seahawks with Kenneth Walker, like, they've hit a recent string of good running backs, and Barkley can still do that. But, like, the Eagles defense needs to make this a one-dimensional game, or else I feel like they're going to be making it closer than this game, or the Eagles have any right to make it as competitive or close it could potentially be.
Yeah, I think that's certainly true. I just I can't deal with another like bad defense to, you know, to Sam Howell, to Drew Lock, to Tommy DeVito. Like, I'm sort of like blocking out this defense. Like, if they play well, I'll be happy. If they don't play well, I won't be shocked. I think this game comes down to how well the offense bounces back. And against this Giants defense, you know, they're ranked better. They're 25th overall defense versus 31st offense. They have some guys like Dexter Lawrence. You know, he's been on the Giants for a long time. Azeez Ojulari and the young guy Kayvon Thibodeau. So
yeah, Thibodeau's up front, having a good year.
They do have pieces up front. You know, the Eagles have struggled against the blitz. I'm not sure how often they blitz, but
the Giants blitz.
They blitz quite a bit often, so you know I think last year the Cardinals were like a high blitzing team, and you know that Jalen just has to adjust to that. And there were plenty of times in the Seattle game where he had a clean pocket and he started to escape. So he needs to, you know, either calm down or, you know, have a more presence of mind to, because he's very accurate in the pocket. I think during the game they showed some stat that he's one of the most accurate, if not the most accurate, passers from the pocket.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's something to watch with the blitzes on the back end. Adoree Jackson's their top corner from what I remember. So that's you know, they don't have much. So Eagles should dominate on the offensive side of the ball. And if they don't, then the problems will stack up. But it should be a field day on both sides. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, the Giants, they are really bad against the run defensively. So I feel like that is, you know, the Eagles kind of looking for a bounce back performance every which way they can take it. I think this could be a good game for Swift and obviously Boston Scott. Yeah, this Giants defense, they blitz a lot. They blitz the second most frequently in the league, and they have the second fewest sacks in the league. So what that tells you is they just don't have the defense to hold with good offenses. They have to produce their own pressure, and even when they do that, they're not actually getting to the quarterback. So, you know, this Eagles offensive line, it was at least I was a little bit surprised to see Juergens out last week. Pettis filled in for him, and then at least according to today's practice report, Juergens was in full. So I imagine, given the Dickerson surgery news, that just means that Pettis will flip from one guard spot to the other. That's just to say that, like, you know, the Eagles offensive line should have their work cut out for them. Ditto for the running backs. Listen, everything according to what we know about the Giants say that the Eagles should not sweat this game. They should have heavy advantages on both sides of the ball. They're playing at home on Christmas, and they're all blacks. It is set up to be the get right game, and I can't imagine there's... You know, it does feel like it's the pull the football away. Like, everything about this is, you know, the Eagles will have a resounding win, and it'll be a game that we're like, all right, you know, we can forgive some of the torture you put us through. But, you know, at the end of the day, this Eagles team is in a funk, and sometimes the division games can be tricky. and the game that you don't think is competitive, suddenly you're halfway through the third quarter, and you're like, boy, why aren't we pulling away? Why aren't we pulling away our crap? Why are we losing? So I still don't think that'll be on the cards, but you never know.
Yeah, looking at the Giants' schedule, they played Dallas twice already. Dallas beat them 40-0 and 49-17. So, the lowest was 40 points against them. Other good teams, San Francisco put 30 up on them. Buffalo only put 14 points. So that's sort of the outlier there. But these teams that are on par better than the Eagles are dropping at least 30 points on the Giants. I think the Eagles have to do that to reinstill some confidence that this offense can work. But if they have like a clunky game again, that's not going to play. So it's sort of a style points type game, I think. The anything else on the Giants?
Let's see. I think it's weird. Like they're 5-9. I am curious if anybody's on the hot seat in regards to their coaching staff. I feel like you get a little bit of a permission slip once your quarterback's out for the year. It's tough. Like I'm not sure if there's a sense of desperation from this Giants team, or if they are just like, hey, just let us wrap up our season in peace. Like, I know the DeVito thing has kind of brought some magic to the team, but on the other hand, like, they just got like routed by the Saints. So I feel like we're not catching, like, the little fun part of the experiment is kind of over, in my opinion, and I wonder if like the team just kind of is mentally out of it. Like, all right, we got, or maybe it's the opposite. Like, hey, we're fully signed up to screw with this Eagles team. They're playing us twice, and they're on rocky waters right now. Like, let's really mess with them.
Yeah, and they have quite a long injury list as of today, Thursday. Dexter Lawrence with a hamstring didn't participate. Xavier McKinney has an illness, he didn't participate. You mentioned Evan Neal with the knee, he didn't participate. Their backup running back Matt Breida has a hamstring, he was limited. Their punter was limited with a groin. That's
Oof.
not good.
No, it is not.
So they're banged up. Feel like all they have is the DeVito vibes, and that's kind of where we're at there. As far as Eagles injuries, DeVonta Smith I think is the most notable. He with a knee, he didn't participate in Thursday's practice. And Zach Cunningham with a knee didn't participate, as well as Nicholas Morrow. So those are concerning, but we'll see how the game shakes out. Then, of course, the playoff picture: Cowboys are at Miami, and 49ers are home on Monday, Christmas night against Baltimore. So those are two tough games for each of those teams. We'll see how that works out. Is Tariq Hill playing? Do we know? He was
Tyreek
hurt.
Hill, I believe he was limited participant today.
Yeah, so hopefully he plays, and we'll see. We'll see there. Eagles are 13.5 point favorites. Vegas has some confidence.
And that I believe that opened at 10.5 points,
Yeah, I think it
so
was 10.5,
to
so.
see, like, that is significant movement 72 hours later,
Yeah.
especially when the starting line is that big. I
The
mean, you got to be crazy to be taking the points for the Eagles. I mean,
Yeah, especially the way they've been playing.
I'm a fan of this team, and right now I couldn't go anywhere near that. But
All right, you want to get into predictions?
Yeah, let's do it. Is
All
it
right.
my turn to go first, right?
I think it's yours, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I will gladly take the low hanging fruit here, and that is Boston Scott related. So these numbers are asinine, but Boston Scott has 10 touchdowns in 8 games against the Giants. In his career, he has 16 touchdowns. So 10 of his 16 touchdowns in his career against the Giants in just 8 games. And in his last 5 games, he has 5 touchdowns. And like, you can go back and look at those games. He's not like the starter. He's just getting like a sprinkling of carries, like somewhere in the ballpark of like 5 to 10 carries. And I realize he has not really touched the ball a whole lot this season.
Well, he returns kicks that mostly are touchbacks, but
true.
Once in a while he'll return a kick. So I assume those games are excluded with the 5 touchdowns. Where he's just in the games in Boston Scott's last 5 games, he has 5 touchdowns. But those are if he plays as a running back, not a returner.
So in those games, I'm pretty sure he's also returning kicks.
Yeah, but there's some games where he's only returning kicks and not.
Like last year, he had 2 games against the Giants, and in those games, he scored 2 touchdowns.
You're saying in his last 5 games against the Giants?
Right. Yeah, this is versus the Giants.
Right.
All right, so my prediction is he scores another touchdown to make it 6 straight games with a touchdown against the Giants. I think some way, somehow, Boston Scott gets a carry or two deep in the red zone, and he continues to be the giant killer.
I like that, and hopefully the legend will continue. My first prediction, I think this is a fan prediction. I think there will be some sort of South Philly Italian related anti-DeVito thing. Whether that's
is this a hate crime you're predicting?
No, like a sign or like Philly Italians versus New York or something anti-DeVito from a South Philly like themed something or other that is Italian related.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine there's probably some South Jersey versus North Jersey rivalry.
Yeah, stuff like that.
So, like, what is your prediction here exactly? You're going to see posters?
You're going to see, like the Phillies have fan groups. Something
they're,
like
they
that.
They might be throwing tomatoes at DeVito. Is that
yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely going to be some funny antics. The parking lot shirts, I imagine, will be out in full effect. Yeah,
you'll know it when you see it. How's that?
Really calling your shot here. All
yep.
Right, my second one, and this goes back to, the Giants' poor offense altogether. And I don't think we've mentioned this, but the Giants have given up the most sacks in the NFL so far this season. So the second most sacks given up by a team is the Jets, and they've given up 61. Now the Giants have given up 76. So it's quite a large disparity between the worst and second worst according to sacks given up, and that is the Giants' claim to fame. So the Eagles defensive line, they have gotten sacks, albeit in not large numbers, and generally have disappointed. But I think this is a game where as long as they make this bad Giants offense one-dimensional, I think it will be a game where they can rack up their sacks. It's been a while since they had one of those. So my prediction here is the Eagles will total 6 sacks against the Giants. And as far as accounting goes, give me Josh Sweat with 2. He hasn't had one in, I think, 4 games now, so he's certainly due. 2 for Jalen Carter, had one last week. I think he's one of the few bright spots that continues to pop up here and there on this team. And then the 2 remaining sacks, Hassan Reddick, and then give me one for Nolan Smith.
Yeah, that'll reinvigorate some fans. That'll be the definition of get right game for the D-line. So that's very optimistic, and I hope that happens. I like that for Smith, and then your big dogs getting their share. So I like that spread, and it's a good number. This is I feel like I've done this every other week, but I need it because I'm in the fantasy championship for a fantasy league. Give me AJ Brown over 100 yards and a touchdown. That'll really help both the Eagles and myself.
Yeah, so
he hasn't had a big game, and you know, he had those 4 or 5 straight 125 yard plus games, and now he hasn't really had like a big dominating performance.
Yeah, so I had a prediction that was quite in line with this. It is, I feel like most people would kind of write off the 49ers game altogether, but I think he did crack 100 yards that game. You would never know because it was a blowout, but it does feel like he hasn't had one of those like takeover games. So I could certainly see that happening. I think I do have another backup prediction because I almost had that verbatim. I had him for 120 and a touchdown, so we're on the same page there. I am curious if the Giants will give him assign the Dory Jackson to him, or if that's Deontay Banks, but honestly, it doesn't really matter. I think AJ Brown's going to eat, and this is a game where you need your stars to step up when you're in the funk, because sometimes you just need them to turn on their superstar ability. And I think AJ Brown is certainly a guy we know that can do that. Final prediction here: one of Kelee Ringo or Sidney Brown gets an interception.
All right,
they're both coming off of a more encouraging game this past week. Slays out. It was a little bit surprising to me to see Ringo get the nod over Josh Jobe. Josh Jobe seems to have been leaped over. But hey, Ringo, I think in a small sample size, he's been interesting. And then Sidney Brown, one of the other things we saw from Patricia was more 3 safety looks, and Sidney Brown, I think he gets around the ball, and last week he was on the end of some pretty unfortunate catches that really hurt the defense. So I think maybe he finds the ball Monday night.
Yeah, I like that. You got a full on get right game in all your predictions. So.
I sure do.
My final prediction is there's going to be a unusual player touchdown, a player that either hasn't scored all year or doesn't usually score, I think. And my player prediction for that will be a Jack Stoll touchdown.
Okay. Jack Stoll, huh?
Yep.
Okay.
That's my final prediction.
And I'm imagining this is not a deep touchdown. This is
a red zone touchdown. Yeah, okay. 5 yard pass, something like that.
Yeah, it is. I feel like the Eagles have no passing touchdowns in the red zone. It's either they get
it's always Swift getting tackled at the 2,
or it's a tush push. Those are the only outcomes: field goals and tush push touchdowns.
All right,
Yeah,
player of the game.
would love a stole touchdown for Christmas. So my player of the game, he's already been weaved into one of my predictions, and he is a guy that I think has been kept under, you know, I guess kind of contained the past few weeks. He's gotten close, and that is Josh Sweat. I think if he can get a sack or two early in the game, he can kind of, you know, put the clamps on this Giants offense, keep them in third and long, make them pass early. Don't get into third and medium or third and short, even though, you know, it could be third and 15. I'm sure Tommy DeVito will find a way against this Eagles defense. But Josh Sweat, I think he's got a good game in store for him, given that I believe he's likely to go up against, who is it now? It's Andrew Thomas. So probably the stiffest competition on that Giants offensive line, but that's not saying a whole lot. So Josh Sweat has beat better guys, and I think he's certainly due for a game.
Yeah. This is probably not too surprising given the opponent, but my player of the game, Boston Scott. I think you just got to do that for the legend to continue. So give me Boston Scott. I like your prediction of a touchdown. I think he'll have, you know, let's give him 80 yards on the ground.
Okay.
Featured back.
I do think it's nice that we're choosing our emotional support, Boston Scott.
Yep. Get right game, emotional support, all that stuff. So,
all right. 13 and a point, 13 and a half point, home favorites, Christmas afternoon at the Link. I have the Eagles scoring 28 to the Giants 20.
All right. 8 points.
And as far as like how that happens, I think maybe the Giants score a touchdown late. So for
you think
until the
you
end,
think it'll be out of hand?
Not out of hand, but I think it'll certainly be one where it's like, all right, like we're more so enjoying the fourth quarter than worrying in the fourth quarter.
They'll score late enough that they just don't cover.
Yeah.
Yeah. My final score prediction, Eagles 24, Giants 21.
Close.
Closer game. Think it'll continue to be clunky. Similar to you, they might score late in the game, but the Eagles, I think, will show signs of life, signs of getting back to the team that they used to be, but it won't be perfect and will still be frustrated in a number of ways, but hopefully less ways than against Seattle. So
what's the over under for throwing batteries at Santa mentions?
Three.
The course of the broadcast.
I think three. Two and a half. Two and a half, three. Something like that.
And what if we included like signs and broadcast mentions?
Five and a half. Think.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's more DeVito chicken cutlet stuff, Christmas food and all that. I don't know. Whatever. But we'll be back next week after the Giants game. We will both be in attendance for the Cardinals game, so we'll talk about that in next week's preview. In the meantime, Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good, you know, whatever time you're listening to this. And we'll be back post Christmas, and what else? Well, it'll be before New Year, so we'll wish everyone a happy New Year on the next one. For Mike, I'm Ian. Thanks for listening.